Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon podcast. It's a good one today, an exciting one. We are a day away from the Masters, kicking off 2016 Masters. And we had Gary Player on the podcast on Monday, obviously a three-time champion, a three-time green jacket holder. Well, I figured a good contrast would be to bring on somebody that's never played in the Masters and is playing in his first one. And so 22-year-old Justin Thomas was nice enough, kind enough to jump on the line with us. 34th ranked player in the world, a PGA Tour champion last year in Malaysia. He goes off at 9:59 a.m. Eastern on Thursday alongside Dustin Johnson and Emiliano Grillo. So a fun group there to watch. He's playing in his first Masters and extremely excited about it. Posted an Instagram photo the day he got his invite. I mean, you know, any young person playing in a Masters is going to be pumped. I've been able to spend a little bit of time with Justin in kind of my short time knowing him. A really nice young man, a great player, and really a different approach to the game. I mean, not a big guy, hits it a mile, you know, even has some cool sponsorships, has a deal with GoPro, and they put out a really cool video in his preparation for the Masters and just really getting to know him. So make sure you go check that out. That'll be on our Twitter page at the Clubhouse Pod. If you have questions for us following the Masters, use the hashtag ClubhouseSB or send an email to theclubhousewithshanebacon@gmail.com, or you can just send them a tweet at Shane Bacon or at the Clubhouse Pod. But I figured we'll get right to it. I mean, you guys are ready for the Masters. I'm ready for the Masters. It's going to be a really exciting week, and I think nobody more excited than the 22-year-old Justin Thomas. And it was a really fun conversation hitting on, you know, his preparation for Augusta, his time playing with some celebrities that you'll hear about, and really just, you know, his life as a 22-year-old pro golfer. So let's jump into it. Here we go. Justin Thomas on the podcast. And we welcome into the Clubhouse podcast Justin Thomas, PGA Tour winner. Just 22 years old and already having an incredible career. Do you know that you finished in the top 25, almost 40% of your career starts already? That's pretty impressive stuff.
I did not know that, no, I guess. But knowing me, that the way I look at that is I wish it was a little bit higher percentage, but it's a good stat to know.
Yeah, well, my first question, and I ask all golfers that come on, what have you had to eat today? And I want specifics. I mean, even if you had something nasty like a donut this morning, it's okay. You're in a comfortable place here.
Wow. That's one I haven't had before. This morning I had a bacon, Taylor ham, egg, and cheese bagel on a wheat bagel. And then for lunch I had a cup of tuna salad and then a smoothie with strawberry, banana, and peanut butter. That's nice. What I've had so far today.
Pretty healthy. I mean, you know, I was kind of expecting one thing to maybe be a little off. But you are going to the Masters for the first time. I mean, can you talk to me just about the moment you realized that was happening? When was that moment when you went, oh, wow, I'm gonna be at Augusta National this year?
You know, I think like everybody says, when they first get that invitation, you don't really officially know. I mean, you hope to get that invite, but I guess you don't really know until you have it in your hands. So that was pretty cool to be able to hold that and know that I'm officially going. But I think my first practice round after that, I think it was sometime in like January when I went there. It was kind of like, all right, I'm not just playing this for fun anymore. I'm kind of playing it to scout it. And I don't know, if that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I listened to you on the Golf Digest podcast. I think it was last year you were on there, and you mentioned you played Augusta for the first time as a freshman in college. I mean, you're 18 years old at Alabama, and boom, you're getting a chance to go play Augusta. What was that like? I mean, was that surreal for you?
Yeah, it was great. I was very fortunate to where I was on the team at the same time as Lee Knox and his dad, the legend Jeff Knox, out at Augusta. He'd like to take like a group of a couple guys on the team every year, and I was just fortunate to where another guy on the team couldn't go, one of the seniors or one of the older guys. So he asked myself and another teammate, Bobby Wyatt, to go play with him and his dad. And we went a weekend, and it was awesome. We had a blast. Obviously, it's so different than any place. It's so much history and so pristine, and just, man, it's just beautiful. It was it's one of those rounds where usually don't remember the rounds that don't really mean anything. All right, not don't want to say don't mean anything, but just a round for fun. And that one kind of felt like a tournament. I felt like I remembered that round pretty well.
You could remember all the shots. So you brought him up, so I've got to ask. And for people that don't know, Jeff Knox is a member at Augusta, and he plays as a marker a lot of the time when there's an odd number of people that make the cut. And famously, he's played little matches with Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy, and he's actually beat those guys. I mean, this guy is an absolute stick, right? Can you talk a little bit about his golf game?
Yes. I mean, he's a stud. He's the reason why every practice round I play there, I play with him, or I try to. I mean, it's also playing with Lee on the team. I mean, I got to know him for different reasons than just Augusta, so it was just kind of a coincidence. It worked out to where, you know, whenever I'd want to go play, I would let him know when I wanted to play this year, and then he would join, and we would make it work to where we could play together because we have fun when we just kind of go mess around. But then again, he knows it so well that he, you know, I try to ask any possible advice and pointers that I can, or little things that local knowledge would help on. So it's been great, you know, being with him in situations like that. But yeah, he's a great player. I mean, I would take him putting there over probably anybody in the world, and it's fun to watch him kind of plod his way around there.
Yeah, I mean, I think famously he has the record from the members' tees there. I think he shot 61 or something crazy there one time.
He did.
At least that's the lore that surrounds his name.
He was 12 under through 16, and he bogeyed 17, and he parred 18.
Yeah, so he obviously had a chance there for the magical number. I mean, could you imagine at Augusta? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I was going to ask you this. You have, you know, you've said, and you famously said, you know, when you came on tour and you kind of started to be a pro golfer, you know, you were not shy to ask people questions and to reach out to them and say, you know, where can we stay? What can I do here? There's a lot of people to ask about Augusta, but somebody like that who mm-hmm. knows the golf course so well and plays it so many times, I mean, is that like almost an advantage for you that other players might not have, is having a member like that that's open to go talk to you and say, you know, you want to be here, you don't want to be here? I mean, has that been really helpful to you?
Yeah, I think for a first timer, for sure. I mean, I would like to think that, I mean, it's kind of hard to word this, but it's obviously the rookies or the, you know, the first timers, they don't exactly have the best statistics at Augusta and the Masters. And I can see why. I mean, I feel like I'm very, very comfortable out here, and I know the course very well. And but you still, I feel like you learn something new every time you play it. So that's why, you know, I pick Mr. Jeff's brain every time we go play. I mean, I sat down with Mr. Nicklaus and talked to him a while about it. I've talked to Tiger about it. I mean, I just want to be around and play practice rounds and kind of talk to guys who've had success there and know the course really well, just because I feel like any information you have is so beneficial. And I mean, my caddy Jimmy Johnson has caddied, you know, at Augusta probably any or more than any course or any tournament he's ever been at. So that's he's going to be very helpful for me as well.
And you know, players and golfers, I mean, Tiger was famous about this. He would say, you know, I prepare the same every week. I mean, like, I understand the line, but getting set for a major, I mean, getting set for the Masters, I mean, it's been different for you, right? I mean, you've had this date circled on your calendar for the whole year preparing to get set for these 4 days.
I have. I think it's crazy. You know, I was talking to my dad about that and talking to Jimmy about that. It's like, you know, everyone puts so much preparation into this event, and it's just funny. It's like, you know, why do we not do this for every event? You know, it's the Masters, and yeah, it's a major, but it's like, you know, we're trying to peak, get our game peaking, get it the best, you know, it clicking in all cylinders. It's like, well, why? I don't understand why we don't put this prep in for every event. But then again, you know, when you're playing 20 so odd weeks a year, I don't think you physically can take that. But yeah, I've had it circled for a while, and I'm really, really excited to get going, and I think it's going to be a really cool experience for me. But at the same time, I'm really ready to, you know, try to get my way in contention, and you know, see if I can make something happen.
Yeah, and I, as I mentioned, you were on the Golf Digest podcast, and you mentioned that you had plans for the Monday and Tuesday of Humana, and then Monday, Tuesday of last week during the Shell Houston to go up to Augusta. Mm-hmm. Did you get all those practice rounds in?
I did. I went a couple months ago, and then I went last week and played.
And I heard you played with somebody that is a somewhat famous athlete, potentially.
I did. I played on Monday. It was actually the only time I played out there without Mr. Knox. Uh, he wasn't he wasn't in town that day, but I played with Tom Brady and Jimmy Don and David Novak. That was probably one of the cooler days on the golf course I think I've ever had.
What's Tom Brady's golf game like?
It was pretty good. He said he hadn't played in 8 months, so I didn't really know what to expect. But, I mean, we added it up. I think he shot 10 over, 11 over, something like that. So, I mean, it's pretty respectable for taking 8 months off. And he had a really good move at it. It was kind of interesting, you know, because of him holding that football so often and for so long in his life, you know, he has that right wrist, you know, a little cupped. And because of that, he gets that club face pretty open at the top, but that's be the same as anybody who does something in their sport for so long. I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, hockey players or baseball players have a hard time, you know, hitting a cut, because they're kind of used to that motion of just kind of slapping it and coming from the inside. And it was fun. Once he kind of got in it, he really started hitting some good shots, and he hit some great chips and putts. And it was just really cool to be around him. I've probably enjoyed watching him play football maybe more than any other player in the NFL. So it was pretty cool to spend some time with him.
Yeah, 8 months off and you shoot 83. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Peyton Manning famously said he once broke 80 at Augusta. But, you know, what's funny about Augusta National is, you know, tee to green, it's not the most, you know, grueling golf course in the mm-hmm. world. It's just about getting on those greens. And that's where, obviously, you know, if somebody takes a lot of time off before they go play there, that's where obviously it's going to show, because you're going to see a lot of like three putts and even four putts.
Exactly. It is. It's sneaky from tee to green on some spots, but then again, there's some holes where if it's narrow, it seems like one side's a little bit worse than the other. So you just got to make sure you're on one side. And then if you get there, you just need to hit it on the right side of the green. So it's a course where if you're not playing well, you know, you're scrambling, or if you're leaving at the wrong spot, it's tough to shoot under par. But I feel like if you're playing well and you really have control of your golf ball, you can make a good amount of birdies.
And going into the first round, so going into Thursday, in your opinion, what's the key to you having a good week at Augusta National? And, you know, not just having a top 25 or top 20, but getting in contention and having a chance.
I think just patience and discipline more than anything. I think it's I've put in my work. I've done my homework on the golf course. I've done my preparation, and I feel like you know, where I need to be, or very, very close at least. And now it's just about, you know, being smart and being patient and not making any of those dumb mistakes.
I wanted to ask you, you play golf with Tom Brady. You've played a lot of golf with Michael Jordan. You know, you're 22 years old. I mean, do you have moments where you're like, is this really happening in my life? Like, I mean, do you have moments where stuff's just crazy to you?
Yeah, I think I need to sit back and think about that stuff more often. I've definitely been fortunate to be in some pretty cool situations and play some pretty spectacular golf courses and go to some very special places because of where I am and what I've done. And I feel like I do probably take it for granted, and I shouldn't, but it's awesome. And I'm, you know, I don't do that stuff because, you know, I don't want to be known as, you know, a big timer or a part of that lifestyle. I really enjoy it. I do. I mean, I feel like I'm going to get a lot out of going out there and playing with MJ and talking smack all day and him trying to get in my head, because if I feel like I can hang with that, then I can hang with about anything, and I'm going to be mentally tougher because of it. So although, you know, we'll go play with stuff here and there, same with playing with Steph and Andre at the Pro-Am at Fry's, you got to learn something every day you play, whether you're practicing or playing, and you just got to have some fun.
What's MJ's go-to trash talk? I mean, is he like jingle the change in the pocket? Does he drop clubs? Does he do any of that stuff, or is it just between shots?
Nah, he doesn't really have a go-to. He's one of the wittiest, and I mean, him and Phil, they're different and they're trash talking, but man, they both can just come up with something right away better than, I mean, a lot of people I've ever been around, and it's fun. It really is fun to play with.
And when you won, you won last year at the end of 2015, mm-hmm. first PGA Tour win, and congrats, by the way, on that. But What was the most random message or, you know, congratulatory text or even, you know, Facebook message? Did you have anything that was like, you were like, A, how did that person get my number? And B, wow, I just got a message from blank.
I can't think of a message, anything particular. I mean, the coolest thing I think I got was a handwritten letter from President Bush from 43. I thought that was that was one of the sweetest things ever. I mean, I got to meet him and play a couple holes with him at the Walker Cup, and you know, I don't know if it's him or someone else, but I don't really care. At the end of the day, it was pretty cool to get a letter from him.
Yeah, and, even if he just signs it,
whoever.
It's cool. That's right.
It's the same, you know, same as getting the letters from Mr. Palmer, Mr. Nicholas, whatever it is, and it's just, it was cool.
And obviously, I mean, you're a big Bama guy. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no way to shy away from that. When you were there, did you have any interactions with any football team situation, anything with Coach Saban or anything like that that kind of sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, we got to know Coach Saban very well. I would say he knows all of us that were on the team. I don't know how close he is with the team now, but when I was there, I would say he knew all of us on the team by name. He would come out very often in the spring and come out and practice in the afternoon. He would come hang out with us, and we spent, I think, a couple of the guys that maybe played with him. I never got a chance to play with him. So it was, I would have liked to, but I mean, he worked with Coach Siebel on the swing, so he would come out and we would all be hanging out together. And he's very, very serious, and you know, he's not out there, you know, just kind of BSing and this and that. I mean, he takes it seriously too. He wants to get better, but it's cool. He's just, I mean, I just love the way he goes about everything he does and how he has a plan, and whether it's football or golf or whatever it is. So it was cool to kind of spend some time around him and get to know him a little bit.
And you've mentioned that you're an admitted golf nerd. I wanted to ask, have you watched, I mean, you've mentioned that you watch golf. I mean, you'll watch tournaments in the morning mm-hmm. before you go out in the afternoon to see what's happening. Have you spent any time, you know, researching, watching old Masters or watching, you know, DVR'd Masters on how it went down?
Yes. Yeah, I've probably watched the one last year, probably 15 to 20 times.
So Spieth's win in 15. I mean, is there a favorite Masters that sticks out in your mind?
I mean, it's hard to go against 05. That was one of the coolest things ever. I when I stayed in Butler Cabin, or not Butler, excuse me, not Butler Cabin. I stayed in one of the cabins last week at Augusta. I stayed Tuesday night, and they have every Masters from 1960 till the present on the TVs. And who I was staying with, we sat through, we watched a couple, and I'd never seen the entire 86 Masters. I mean, I obviously knew it happened, but that was incredible. But man, I was so upset watching, you know, when Kenny Perry lost. It would have been really cool for someone, you know, like him and another Kentucky native to get the jacket. So that obviously wasn't my favorite, but I just kind of forgot how all that went down, because I remember I was in a tournament and flying home, and I just kind of read about it here and there, but didn't see all the shots. And I don't know. I just love them. I like the recent ones a little bit more than the older ones, but it's hard to go against 86 or 2005.
Yeah, and the Kenny Perry Masters is funny. I mean, if you rewatch that, if you remember, Cabrera makes that birdie on 16, and you were kind of thinking in the back of your head. Yeah, you're thinking in the back of your head. That's a kind of important putt. But Kenny was still completely in charge of that Masters.
He was.
It was even after that birdie. So you think about all the little things that have to happen, and I don't want to call it a collapse, but you know, when the tides turn on somebody, and that's a crazy match. That's a good point you brought up, because it really never looked like Kenny Perry was ever going to lose that.
Yeah, it's a shame. Seriously, probably one of the nicest guys. I think everybody would agree he's one of the nicest guys out there. And it was a shame. And that putt on Hell made on 16, I didn't know he made that. I knew Kenny had a two-shot lead with two to go, but I did not know on Hell made that putt. And I was like, man, that's a big difference right there. And, you know, the thing is, though, is he really didn't hit that bad of a shot on 17. Just probably adrenaline got him, like it's gotten everybody in golf at some point. And it just, I mean, I'd be pretty nervous too if I have a two-shot lead and I have a chip on 17. Obviously, I hope to find that out sooner rather than later, but, you know, it is what it is. And but it was a bummer to watch.
Yeah, it's tough, especially when you get, you know, to the end of your, I guess, PGA Tour career. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, Kenny, a guy now on Champions, but, you know, when you look back and you think about this moment or that's what's so cruel about golf is, I mean, I'm reading a book about Oakmont right now, and there's so many moments at U.S. Opens, they're one shot or one missed putt, and that person's now a major champion forever, or you're not.
Yeah.
It's just crazy when you think about it. When you talk to guys like Jack and Tiger about Augusta, is it about, you know, is it about the way you play it? Is it about position off the tee? Is it about areas that to not mess with, whole locations to basically say, I'll take a par and get out of here. Is it about situational things, or is it more about just how the course can play in different, maybe different weather conditions or different, you know, kind of drier or faster?
I mean, for me, it just kind of started out like, just give me any advice you have just off the bat. And then, I mean, there's certain holes I kind of had questions on, whether it was a pin location or a tee location or firmness or softness, you know, what to hit off a couple tees. And I mean, that would kind of, you know, that would snowball into something else or another hole. So it just kind of, one thing seemed to always lead to another, but it was more so just kind of like a strategy and game plan kind of thing.
And speaking of strategy, give me three shots at Augusta National that you cannot lose focus on. I mean, the three most important shots of the round there at Augusta.
That's tough. I mean, you got to think 12 for sure.
For people that haven't played 12, is there any way to explain it? Is there any way to explain how a 155, 160-yard par 3 is basically doomsday if you don't hit a perfect golf shot?
Yeah, it's just that wind. It's, I mean, a couple of times I've played there, I've been on the tee, and you look up, you look over to your left and 11 green, and that the pin's whipping up toward 11 fairway, and then you look at the pin on 12, and it's going down toward 13 tee, and then you're like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to play this wind?
Right.
So I think that's the big thing, just because long is bad and short is obviously bad, and it's just such a narrow – it's such a great hole. It really is. It's, I mean, if you play it one under, it's just – it's a great, great score for the week. And it depends on the wind. If it's not very windy, it's not a very hard shot. If it is windy, it's an extremely difficult shot. So it's just it is. It's a great hole.
Yeah, and it's the same as the approach on 15. I mean, you know, when you think about your second shot at 15, a hole where obviously you're probably thinking birdie on the tee, but the landing area there, especially with some of those hole locations, I mean, you're talking about landing on the top of a very, very small dinner table if you want to keep it even on the putting surface.
Yeah, that was probably going to be one of my other ones. That's a tough second shot if you're going for it.
So if you, when tee times come out and you're Thursday tee time, if it's early, is there going to be much sleep? I mean, are you going to be so amped up that it's going to be tough to get a full night's sleep, or have you got that pretty much under control at this point?
I don't know. I think I'll be fine, but at the same time, I mean, I wake up early about all the time. I can't sleep in very well anymore, so. It's the afternoon tee times I struggle with because I have a hard time sleeping past 7:30. So I think I'll be okay. It's hard to say. I think the first couple rounds it won't be bad. I mean, getting in contention Saturday or Sunday will be different. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess I'll let you know here in a couple of days.
That's exactly right. Well, I'll ask you some quick rapid-fire questions, then I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of stuff going. If there was a restaurant or fast food chain that sponsored – your generation's PGA Tour players, what would it be?
I would say that the players use the most is Chipotle, but I don't like Chipotle. I personally would like Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. On your sleeve, coming soon. Who's the best putter you know?
It's hard to go against Jordan.
I was trying really hard not to bring up Jordan Spieth's name through the
whole
podcast.
Trust me, I was trying to think of something else, but I mean, I can't really deny it.
That was my whole thing. I was not going to say anything about that guy through the whole.
You know what? I appreciate you making it that you not bringing up his name. I think that might be a first.
I was trying. Even when I said the 2015 Masters, I was trying not to say anything about it. Who's the best pro athlete golfer you know?
Best pro athlete golfer, probably Steph Curry.
Is he legit a two or three?
Yeah, he's good.
Okay. I mean, hits it pretty hard?
Yeah, he does. He played well today. I played with him. I mean, he hits it nice. He just always kept it in front of him, and he had good fundamentals, and he was a good player. I was impressed.
I'm glad he's got that golf thing to go back on, because I'm not sure this NBA thing's going to work out for him.
I think things will turn around for him.
Yeah, hopefully he can make it. I mean, it's seriously, the guy's like the most amazing shooter of all time. He's a really good golfer. He's a really nice guy. He's a good family guy. There's got to be one flaw. We'll wait and see. What's the most popular game that you and your buddies play on a consistent basis, you know, when you're back home in Florida?
Probably just like a two-on-two best ball kind of thing. We'll play five-man wolf every once in a while, but I don't really like that game. But I like a good two-on-two, just best ball or two-on-two hammer.
If you play five-man wolf, do you go blind wolf ever?
I don't think so. I hate that game. I always feel like I play better than everybody else and I lose the most money. So I don't like that game
always,
so much.
Always paying. That's the worst. It's a fun game. It's a fun game if it's going your way, especially if you're hitting it good, because then you're just on everybody's team the whole time.
You just got to ride whoever's hot, and wolf is what I've come to figure out.
You have talked a lot about Ryder Cup and your aspirations to be on the team this year, and obviously playing well and hopefully going to make it, because I hope there's a whole bunch of new blood. Who's your dream Ryder Cup partner?
Not to bring him up again, but I would say Jordan. We seem to do pretty well together.
We can't avoid the guy. He's unavoidable.
There's so many I could come up with, though. There really is. I mean, Patrick Rogers and I have a very stout record playing together, and you know, Palmer Cups, Walker Cups. But I know Jordan and I have won some big matches, so it's going to be hard to bet against them.
I mean, have you told anybody in the Ryder Cup area, the team, the captains, have you told them that you've never lost a team competition before? I think you're 3-0, aren't you?
We lost to freaking Berger and Jimmy last year.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We lost on 18. We've won. We've won much more than 3, though. I would put our record something around anywhere from 5 to probably 6 to 8 or 9 or 10 and 1, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. You're on the 18th hole at Augusta National on Sunday, okay? You have a one-shot lead. You can pick any distance for your second shot and what club you're going to hit. What are you picking?
I can pick any distance?
Yeah, like any. I mean, your second shot, it's your number. You get to pick a number, one-shot lead. All you need is 4.
I'm going with my tee shot. Somehow hit 4 straight sprinkler heads, and I got about a 6-footer up the hill for 2. And I just gotta keep breathing, and I can 3-putt from there to win.
Your heart would be beating so much. You just hoping it hit the right sprinkler heads. It's like Bubba's tee shot on 13 a couple of years ago. I mean, that was a line that humans don't take. So maybe there's a line on 18 that we haven't seen somebody take yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck this week. I mean, it's going to be a fun week. You know, good or bad, you know, win or not win. I mean, it's going to be a memorable one. And we wish you all the best and appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks, Shane.
Well, that was fun. As I mentioned, you know, a lot of great stuff in there. Tom Brady, Steph Curry. It was cool to hear him, you know, compare Michael Jordan to Phil Mickelson in the sense of trash talking. Obviously not two maybe you'd put together there. So just a fun conversation. I really appreciate it from Justin. So thanks for hopping on with us. Hopefully he has a good week this week in his first Masters. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have any questions, comments, really anything, hit us up at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter. You can send emails to us, theclubhousewithshanebacon@gmail.com. Use the hashtag ClubhouseSB. Any questions, any mailbag questions you want answered next week? Obviously going to be a lot to talk about on Monday's podcast following the Masters, so make sure you check that out. And do us a favor, go subscribe. If you subscribe, write a review. It helps out a lot. So if you get on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, just subscribe, write a good review, and we'll just keep pumping these things out. So there you go. It is Masters Eve, and it's exciting. I'm fired up. I can't wait to get out to Augusta. So, going to be a good week. I'm excited, and make sure you follow along on Twitter all week long. We'll have a lot of fun stuff going there as well. So, a good conversation with Justin, and you know, really two fun podcasts as we get set for the first major. So, make sure you check back on Monday as we will recap the Masters.